Good morning, brothers and sisters. Thank you, everyone, for everyone who have served and the scripture. I also want to thank Pastor Fang for inviting me to come here so we can learn God's word together. Before we start, I ask you to close your eyes so we can pray together. Heavenly Father, we come in front of you. We want to give the time to you. Please, you allow us to tell you that we're your children and give us the opportunity to tell you what we need. Please, Lord, use the scripture and the sermon to give us the faith and confidence that we need. Please, Lord, all the distractions around us, especially COVID-19, is around. However, we have our faith in you. So please, Lord, strengthen our faithfulness and confidence in our life through our mourning. Please look after us in this congregation. We know you're the Lord that's with us at all time, and we believe that you're holy and your glory is with us in the next few hours. And we pray that you are with us in our lives. Please, Lord, be with me so I can speak your word and wisdom in the next few minutes. All glory to you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. In 2018, I was once at a fellowship class. Among the teachers, there was a teacher named Mr. Lee from California. He shared that he liked airplanes when he was young, and he dreamed of having his private jet when he grew up. Later on, he went to Stanford University to study and studied aviation. After he graduated, he opened a company in Silicon Valley and obtained his pilot's license and owned his own private jet. So his life is successful because he achieved his life childhood dream. Later on, God called him. He became a pastor in San Francisco. One day during their congregation, his daughter, who is a student at University of California, Berkeley, she attended their fellowship. His daughter told him that they have a special gathering at their university made up by the scholars from China. So his daughter asked him to share at this congregation with the Chinese professors. So Pastor Lee agreed and started to share at this congregation. After that, in the Q&A, one scholar from China asked, "You have such a good educational background. You obtained a doctoral degree from Berkeley. Why did you give up on being an engineer, instead becoming a pastor?" That means to them, becoming an engineer is better, more influential than becoming a pastor, financial-wise too. Pastor Lee asked, Do you think I'm silly? Do you think I've not got enough wisdom?
He asked that. Of course, everybody said. Of course not. You study at Stanford, and you open your own company, Pastor Lee said. Now you know I'm not stupid. Everybody knows you gotta choose what's best for you. I chose what I think is best for me, and I want to share that with you. Brothers and sisters, there are many examples in real life. Once a person has encountered our God, our Lord, his whole outlook towards life changed. It's not to say that our Christians need to live aloof life. However, we're still within the world. We're becoming the light and salt of the world. We're only changing how we're viewing things around us. Fortune, success, everything around us. Just like the scripture we read, Paul said, he regarded everything as nothing after he encountered God. So we need to think why Paul can make this statement. So what happened to Paul? So when Paul wrote to Philippians, what is the purpose and the goal of his letter? Let's think about it. Let's look at the first verse we have, Paul's warning. Let's start verse 2. We know some people say that Philippians is to say thanks to Philippians and to thank them for their help to Paul. Yes, it is absolutely true. However, Paul wrote Philippians to caution the Philippians. Let's read chapter 3, verse 2. Let's pay attention to these two words. Which two words? Watch out. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. Why? Because at the Philippians church, there were some people, they go against what Christ was saying. What kind of people are they? Let's pay close attention. It's the dogs, the evildoers, and the mutilators. And those people are the legalistic of the Jewish. At then Philippians church, there were not only Christians, and there's Christians from other counties, such as Gentiles. And for those who are Jewish, they think they are being chosen by God and that they are better than all the other believers. And they also say that it's not enough to be saved by Christ. You also need to have circumcision. So to Paul, that is totally contradictory to what Christ said on the cross. So for Paul, he is not against circumcision itself, because circumcision is a covenant between God and Abraham. What Paul was against at this time is that they are using circumcision as an excuse to be saved by God. So for those people who make those claims, they're trying to mislead the Christians. They're trying to take Christians away from being saved. So Paul's calling those people as dogs, evildoers. Why Paul was so harsh? Because those words are really harsh. Why Paul was so angry is because those people were influential and causing division in the church. If we look closely, those people are not the people who don't consider or regard Christ Jesus. Maybe they talk about our Jesus coming back to life too. So from the surface, they are the same as Christians. However, they not only talk about Christ Jesus' grace, they add what they want to say. Not only the people that Paul was talking about, those people do that. Other people do that too, even nowadays. They claim to be the servants of the God. Some of them are even pastors. They recite the Bible. However, they interpreted the gospel and Bible into whatever they want it to be. They are talking about what's in the Bible. However, they add on their own interpretation, and it's very, very dangerous. And sometimes they even use the holy name of Jesus and Holy Spirit to disguise what they want to tell the congregation. Let me ask you, brothers and sisters, is it not enough what's in the Revelation? We don't need those people to tell us their own interpretation. So brothers and sisters, be careful. Watch out for those people. Because if their own interpretation, if it's not from the gospel, but from the person, it's very, very dangerous. This is not new. Of course, some people, throughout the history, people would say, make a prediction that Jesus will come at this time and location. So you will see that those people, whoever believed him, so what's the result for those people? Those people were disappointed and gave up hope on church. So once again, if after a person's preaching, if after his preaching it caused division among the church, that's not what God wants. So let's look at John's chapter 17. So we can see that God's ultimate purpose for us is to form unity. That our goal is to rely on Jesus. And Jesus even say that the timing of his coming back is unknown to men. So this is what Paul was facing. Not only are they talking about Jesus Christ, they're also talking about their own agenda, their own adaptation interpretation. Once again, if it's not in the Bible, that's not from the God. Some people might say, we value loving each other, be patient towards each other. So we should be tolerant of those who mislead us. However, no, let's not abuse our love. Yes, we do value love one another. However, loving each other is not tolerant of each other's mistakes. If you look at the Bible, we will know that we can't abuse our love and tolerance of each other. Because if we would do that, those who mislead us will be tolerated. And that's irresponsible for our congregation, for the well-being of our brothers and sisters. That's why Paul called those people dogs and evildoers. Didn't Paul encourage them? Paul absolutely did. Paul absolutely gave them chance. However, they did not change. So, brothers and sisters, even Paul called them dogs and evildoers here. He is actually doing that for the betterment of the Philippians church. Improvement. So really, Paul regarded every church he ever interacted with as a child of the Holy Spirit. He feels anxiety and stress whenever he sees the wrongdoing of a certain church. Paul set the example that if we are the servants of God, we need to disregard our personal interests and conflicts, but to say briefly what needs to be said for the well-being of the church. So we should stand by those who are bravely making a statement for the church. Why? Because those people are more and more rare. More and more people want to agree with each other. Not many people want stating their opinion to make a dissonance, but for the betterment of the church. This is unfortunate. Let's look at the second point here, Paul's witness. This is what Paul did for the Philippians. Brothers and sisters have a clear distinction of those wrongdoers. And what Paul used as example is himself. So he said, for those of you, you are pride of yourself. That Paul used blood identity, education. Paul said that I'm the Hebrew of the Hebrews. As for law, a Pharisee. In that era, the Pharisee is those who are zealous. In those days, being a Pharisee is really high in their spirituality. And as for zeal,
I'm the one. Because I'm more zealous than those of you. So, in summary, so those of you who are really proud for the circumcision, and you boast, and back in the days, I was one of you. I put confidence in flesh. Back in the days, I was regarded really high socially, and I'm a Pharisee, and I'm really zealous. Paul started to tell a story. However, I realized I was transformed. All the things that were valuable in people's eyes, those were actually harmful in God's eyes. No matter if it's the blood, identity, education, all of those worth nothing or even harmful in God's eyes. Why? Because my blood and identity became barriers for me to come closer to God. Those things actually harm me from coming closer to God. Not only did I not experience God's heart, I became the one that's prosecuting the church. Being a Pharisee actually enabled my pride and prejudice. So let's think about, for nowadays, all the Chinese people here, all the things that we regard as valuable actually are prohibiting us from coming close to God. Paul said that because the external and worldly status blocks our perception of Holy Spirit. For us, brothers and sisters, without God's enlightenment, we don't know who we are. So, back to today. For the Chinese people here today, many people might have so many degrees, so many titles, so many income and social status. Is it a good thing or a bad thing for the Chinese people? Yes, sure, it's a good thing. However, if we boast on our capabilities, our wisdom, our competencies, those things will block our perception towards Holy Spirit. Are the positive feedback good? Sure. However, we can't be the people who like to hear those things. Because if we are over flooded by those things, we cannot hear what God is trying to tell us. We cannot see God's grace. The only thing we can see is our own status and title. And that will mislead the people who hear us. And that will make people think that you're even better than God. So, brothers and sisters, don't let any idol block you from looking at God. Philippians, the goal is to use Jesus as our cornerstone, that we use Jesus as our guidelines, that we need to follow Jesus' suit in becoming humble, to give up everything because Christ is the treasure in our lives. All the other things should not be the pursuit of our life. Chapter 4, that let's rely on Jesus for the ultimate joy and peace. So the Philippians is directing us and leading us to Christ. Let's look at the third point, Paul's abandonment and pursuit. So, John, chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. So we know our biggest enemy, Satan. Satan's biggest goal is to make us forget that he exists. How does he do that? He does that by distracting us so we can see. Is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. All the things are Satan's strategies to distract us. So if we focus too much on those things, if we forget about, so we need to not pay too much attention to the lust of the eyes. We need to remember the ultimate covenant and our ultimate destiny, which is heaven. Once again, Satan is trying to lure us in by all the present enjoyment and lust. But we need to remember that we have an ultimate destination of heaven. So this is what Paul is saying here. All the status, all the things here will fleet very soon. Only those. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. So let me ask you, how long can your status being a professor, being a boss last? What can last forever is being the children of the God. That will last eternity. All the things, what we are, who we are in the world, does not last eternity. Yes, absolutely, we need to do our best. However, that's not who we should value ourselves as. We should value ourselves as Christians who are the light and salt in the world for God. So Satan really wants us to look at what's present, all the lusts of flesh and eyes. Once again, Paul said, the world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Paul changed, transformed. So did his viewpoints towards life. So, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Everybody, I don't know how you regarded 2021 or how you regard your life presently. No matter what, the days of 2021 have passed. We are in year 2022, very soon in the Lunar New Year too. So how are we going to live? What should we pursue? Paul said that he will make knowing God his surpassing worth. So for 2022, what is our goal? I want you to think about it, brothers and sisters. Don't pursue the external lust. So that's what I'm gonna tell you. Don't pursue all the things that's around. Let's be like Paul. Sorry. So let's look at this slide. This is Paul's map of his traveling. This is his whole itinerary of his track. So what happened here is that Paul got to this church, but they expelled them from their region. So when he was at Laconians, not only do they want to expel him, they also want to stone him. And when he was at Lystra, he was killed. But they didn't realize Paul did not die. He got up. So let's look at verse 20. But after disciples gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. Brothers and sisters, this is capturing what Paul went through in his life. So Paul didn't go to those places because willingness. He went to those places because he got stoned. So is it worth it? He used to be a respected professor, a Pharisee. But we know to Paul, yes, it's worth it. Even he got prosecuted and stoned. Paul, just like Pastor Lee, who I shared with you, Paul said, yeah, I'm not stupid. But Paul said something else. Because Paul said that It is worthwhile to getting to know God. Paul thinks it's all worth it. Because he considered everything garbage so that he may gain Christ. No matter what kind of persecution is there, it's worth it. Why? Because, let's look at the next slide. Because for the light of a momentary trouble are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. I consider that my present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. Paul, look at this. Paul's trying to change what we think. He's telling us it's not about the present sufferings. Paul is not valuing the present sufferings. Paul's not valuing our income, our status. He's valuing the glory that will be revealed in us. Just like what John said, everything will pass. Just those who does the will of God lives forever. So that is why so many people are like Paul. To be like Paul, to value God by doing things that is not understood by the people in the world. That is why. Because they regarded success and everything in the world is a little different than us. Let's look at the fourth point, the last point I have. Paul's encouragement. Not only did Paul have this realization himself, he wanted to share with the Philippians. That we have more than present. We have heaven, we have eternity. We will see that Paul said that that our citizenship is in heaven. Why Paul said that? If you look very closely, you will see. Paul said, Paul wants to help the Philippians to understand how they interact with the things around us. That our citizenship is in heaven. That we're not only renewed for eternity, but also how we should live for present days. So you can see that Paul's final point is still arriving at how should we live nowadays, how we can live with the glory of God, how we view things. Why? Because how we view things determines how we act in life. So that's why. So let me read those scriptures. Please pay attention.
Verse 17, join together and follow my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before and now, tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. So, this is a contrast. We need to be different. But these think their God is in their stomach and their glory is in their shame. So we need to be different than those people. We have a different viewpoint, that we view success and failure differently, and we are the citizen of heaven. So when we bring our gaze towards earth, Paul is trying to tell us, please, sisters and brothers of Philippines, let's be a little different. We are the citizens of heaven, so we should look up to the heaven, so we will be transformed to be like Paul, to let go of things. I want to warn you to not grab and hoard things in life. Because if you do that, you don't have time or hands to grab onto the Bible. Have you released control so that you can have empty hands and a mind to grab onto God? Because if you don't do that, you will think what you have is much better than what God prepared for us. So brothers and sisters, let's grab on to what God has promised us. Last but not least, I want to use the story to close it off. Earlier, I read a book called If You're Willing. So this book is about Pastor Joe. In 1992, Pastor Joe, I want to share this excerpt from Pastor Joe's book. He said, we have gained a clear identity and so many blessings. Let's think. What can we sacrifice to God? God's home doesn't only need professors, educators. He also needs housewives, parents, workers, merchants. Every believer needs to be his light and salt. God is not asking you, are you able or not? God is asking, are you willing or not? If you're willing, God can. Everybody, let's read it together. God is not asking you if you can or cannot. God is asking, are you willing or not? If you are willing, God can. God is not asking me, can you or not? God is asking me, am I willing or not? If I am willing, God can do it. Brothers and sisters, so I hope this can bless you all here
in Louisville Chinese Christian Church. Even if you are a housewife, you are a worker, you're a parent, no matter what you are, it doesn't matter, because God is using this scripture to bless you. So, Louisville Chinese Christian Church, what should be our pursuit in 2022? In 2022, are we willing to submit to God, that we walk with Him every day? Just like what Pastor Joe has said, God is asking us, are we willing or not? God is asking us, can we or cannot do? So we should be willing to submit to God. So